Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuaders of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Travelling to Joe Canning's house to have him review The Good Walk Spoiled by John Feinstein as part of our series on the greatest sports books of all time. You might think this sounds like Murph's dream podcast episode, and you'd be right. Hey, Murph.
Hey, on. How's it going?
You should tell these guys about the snow globe you hold in your hands there, just to get a sense of where Joe Canning sits in your life as a sports fan. You maniac.
Okay, so as briefly as I can tell it, I'm going to say the Christmas of 2020. I mean, it wasn't like it was the Christmas of 2017. It just appeared out of nowhere 3 years after the event. The 2017 Ireland hurling semi-final, Galway against Tipperary. It is won with one of the greatest points ever scored in the history of hurling by Joe Canning underneath the Cusick stand. I watched it with my brother John. It remains possibly my favourite ever.
Watched it again this week. Amazing. What a strike.
It's an amazing point. So, I watch this point, you know, maybe once a month or a week, maybe on YouTube, whatever. And the YouTube coverage of it, the clip itself is hilarious. The point is brilliant. And the camera cuts after the point goes over to a crowd shot in the Hogan stand. And in the front row of the Hogan stand, there are two people, one from Galway, one from Tipperary, both apes, let's be honest. These are like hurling men. Hurling apes on hurling men, whichever phrase. You know the thing I'm talking about here. And they ceremoniously shake hands in a moment which I and my brothers have always found really hilarious.
Oh, that's a serious GA trope, isn't it? Like we've been bickering at each other all day, but I'll shake your hand ostentatiously when you've got the moment.
No segregated crowds for us.
No, exactly. Yeah.
This sort of low-level passive-aggressiveness will do us just fine.
This isn't soccer, is what that handshake
says. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it says. So anyway, 3 years after the event, John, my brother, comes up to me at Christmas and presents me with a Joe Canning snow globe. So one half of the snow globe is Joe gazing admiringly as his point goes over the bar, and the other half is these two lads shaking hands.
It's brilliant.
Amazing. It's terrifying. It's awful. I can't believe that it's taken me this long to get it out of the house, but it is now in the office, son, and in the office it shall
remain. John Murphy. Congratulations. This is a work of genius. Oh, you're spinning it around so I can see the handshake. It really is. It's heartfelt. It's only in the GAA do men shake each other's hands.
It's what the association is all about.
Give it a shake there while I introduce the clip. Joe lives, let's get that snow going. Joe lives in Limerick these days, and that brings him into contact with a lot of, you know, Limerick people.
It happens.
A lot of Limerick hurling people with opinions, because Joe hasn't nailed every shot in his career, as we will hear. We also made Joe chip a few balls for us in his back garden to show us his golf game, just to make sure he was up to scratch.
Which is in good nick.
Exactly. Here you go.
Bit of a herder's grip there.
His club head speed is...
He's cracked the wall with that one.
His club head speed is pathetic. Good stuff, Joe, really good. I'm seeing nothing wrong here.
I thought your ma said this guy was amazing.
His swing plane is all over the shop.
Great herder.
Yeah, it's perfect, Joe. Really well done.
Really good stuff, Joe. You're passing the test. Just ship one onto the wall there. Whoop.
Look at his feet at impact. They're all over the shop.
That was fun.
We've set one over the wall there. There should have been a...
Looking back over kind of my sporting career, there is times when you go, jeez, what was I doing there? Like, what was I thinking? What was I believing that for? Like, you feel kind of brainwashed sometimes that, but you have to believe in, obviously, guys that are telling you stuff, because they have the experience. You believe that they have the experience of winning or losing or whatever it is. So when there's guys over you in management and stuff like that, you have to buy into what they say or else you'll have no chance whatsoever. Because if you have guys going in different directions, then it's not possible, no matter if it's right or wrong. But in golf, it's maybe a little bit different because you're on your own. You're not relying on the other 30 guys in your panel or whatever.
So did you feel, you know, when you actually win a big one, in this case a major, it's obviously a weight off to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like, I know, because we would have spoken to you before even winning, and you would have said to other people, I'm not going to be defined by whether or not I win
an All-Ireland.
But it would have been mental for you to have the career you had, for example, without actually having an All-Ireland there at the end.
It would have been an annoying thing to hear. Do you know what I mean?
From people. You would have been asking questions like from me. People,
but like
me for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but like even people on the street. Yeah. Like the most annoying thing for me now, living in Limerick, is... Every day, not every day, but a good few days. And even I met a guy today, he thought I missed the free on purpose. He was a Limerick fella, yeah. Like a pretty famous Limerick publican now, right? And living in Dublin. And he said, you missed that free on purpose, didn't you? Because there's no way you would have missed it by that much.
Right? Did you not remember where the free was from? It was the Clonliffe Road, like.
But it's like that. If I didn't win an All-Ireland, people would say, geez, you never won an All-Ireland. No matter, I've won everything else, apart from an under-14 All-Ireland. Yeah. I've won everything else. But it would have been that everybody would have said to me. Because it was kind of the talked about thing for a while and the pressure of, geez, you'll never win an All-Ireland or whatever. But for me, does that define me? Does it? No, in my view, because like it's not as if I do Anton Ells or get Anton Ells just because I have an All-Ireland medal. Like, I don't even know where the All-Ireland medal, like, you can look up there, that's all my club medals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's my five counties. You know which ones are the counties and which ones are the All-Irelands by the stain.
They're lasting a little better than the Galway County Board ones.
Yeah, the county Galway County Board ones are black. And the four All-Ireland ones are still
there's
gold.
There's a bit of shine there, yeah.
You have to get them in a can of Coke or something like yeah. that.
But you don't know where your All-Ireland is?
Well, it's at home somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't, like, it's not something that, like, I wouldn't know where they are. My nephew Nathan gave them to me, my godson, for Christmas, a thing like that, but... The point being that I was never one to let sport define me as a person where other guys do, maybe. Do you know? I was always very conscious that it was a hobby. It was something that I played because I loved it. It wasn't a thing that I lose sleep over not playing anymore. Yes, I'd still love to be playing. And every match you go to, you'd miss that buzz and you'd want to be out there. But... some lads find that really, really difficult to let go of, you know, and you'd see by statements and stuff like that when they retire and stuff like that. I was never really, like, I'm not really vocal on Twitter commenting about other players. Now, yes, I am on RT and whatever, but I'm not one to have a go at a fella on Twitter and get a big kind of discussion about one player and let's say we'll have a go at him because he played bad. Do you know where other guys are kind of like that and feel that they almost have an onus because they played the game that you have to have a go.
And, you know, and maybe even that, you know, that they have the All-Ireland medals to prove it and that elevates them in some way. Whereas I think actually that the difference here really is that when Azinger says, even though I told people and told myself I didn't have anything to prove that I did, that it was still him hitting the shots, you know? So, you know, like, it is different when you're in a team sport and when you're in an individual sport. Because, you know, there's only so much that you can do as an individual. There's only so much that, and then, you know, there's, in the back of your mind, there's always, well, listen, I did everything I could. Maybe there are others that didn't. Whereas when it comes to golf, it is literally everyone tees up at even par on the Thursday morning and may the best man win. So I think it is a kind of a different thing. So all of the doubts that kind of run through this book, they're the doubts that could only happen in an individual sport.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, like I think, say, any of us who've played on a team, the first thing that happens maybe after a loss is, you know, you're chatting with other people on the team and, you know, someone scapegoats someone else. And, you know, there's like a blame game that happens. In golf, it's like you can play the blame game as much as you like, but you know deep down it's your fault. And it's also completely to your credit if you win. And that mindset is necessarily different with golfers like Azinger than it is with players in a team sport.
Yeah, but with golf as well, it's like you see it with golfers that 1 week they might make the cut and next week they're in contention.
Yeah.
And like you're kind of like, what did I do there in the last few days that has got me to be one of the best players in the world? Yeah. Whereas I wasn't in the top 64 or 5 last week. And if you ask any golf, they'll probably find it very hard to actually say,
yeah.
Whereas in team sports, you can't change in a few days.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Joel Kenny goes back to take the light ball. It's on the verge. It's on the verge for Galway. Joel Kenny with the line ball. Back outside his own 45-meter line. It's all over. Galway have won the All-Ireland Championship. Mick Kelly back in 1923, Joe Connolly in 1980, Conor Hayes, the man to my left, in 87 and 88 with the captains, but David Burke is going to captain Galway to the 5th All-Ireland crown. We think of Tony Keeney, we think of Joe McDonough, we think of Niall Donoghue, we think of Michael Corcoran, we think of every great hurling person that has left us in the massive, massive time of 29 years. Conor Hayes, I don't mind in admitting it, there's a fair few tears in the eyes. This is absolutely magic. Brilliant, Sean. I just saw nerve-wracking there at the end of the
ball. One more from our visit to Joe Canning's house. It is my job to ask the question on everybody's mind. If there had been an inter-county transfer system when he was a player, I went there, Murph, which county would he have transferred to?
No, I'll answer that. It's funny, like, because living
what
on
are we
living
in now?
This yeah no, before they got successful, you probably would have said Limerick, all right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What
would appeal about that? Well, you were in college down here.
I was
as
in
well,
college down here, I suppose. But I've good friends here. I'm obviously married in here, but we weren't bordering them either. Do you know, like Tipperary, I couldn't pledge Tipperary. Jesus Christ.
Correct answer.
So if people don't realise, like Portumna and like Laura are like split between the River Shannon and Loch Derg right, there. Yeah. So like there'll be lots of Tipperary people in Portumna and lots of, well, not so much probably Portumna people out in Tipperary, but we would have, you know, crossed paths a lot. So anytime there was matches when I was growing up was like, and invariably through the 90s, Tip probably, and even the All-Ireland 0-1, they won that. Ollie was playing in that. Yeah, it didn't really... Do you know, as any neighbours, you don't really like...
No.
Do you know? In GA, it's just a rivalry. Like yeah. Clare then were only like 20 minutes up the road. My uncle had a pub, Frankie, up in a place called Gurchney in Woodford, like Tommy Larkin's club, which would be... He'd be only 2 or 3 minutes from the border of Clare up towards like Whitegate, Brendan Bugler's club,
yeah.
Whitegate, Mount Shannon, Scariff, Mike Mack. So like when Clare in the 90s were winning and we'd be going up to Frankie's pub, there'd be a lot of guys coming down to the pub and I couldn't stand them. Do you know, like they'd be revving it in, like Clare, the best thing, the banner roar,
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
lot.
All that, yeah, yeah.
So like I wouldn't have joined Clare either.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Limerick just by process of elimination.
Kind
it was
of,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, I hate yeah. Limerick.
Yeah.
Least.
Yeah, it probably was like, do you know? And I kind of like... I grew up 94, 96 when they lost All Ireland, and you were probably feeling a bit sorry for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's feeling sorry for Limerick now, anyway.
No, not now, but like back then, do you know?
Oh, completely. Yeah.
The reverberations of that one still being felt, Ciarán, the biggest bombshell in Irish public life over the last 24 hours.
Just can't believe you asked that question. It was just really, really strange.
You set it up by talking about how amazing the GAA is and oh, how wonderful, and there's no money and so on. It just got me thinking, what if there was money? What if there was real money for players and to buy and sell players? Mm. Joe Canning would have been £150 million, £200 million? He'd be in the Neymar, the Mbappe category.
Yeah, I think so.
It would cost a lot of money for Limerick to prize him away. What a wonderful story that would have been.
I wonder how they would have drummed up the funds.
Could they have managed? Would there be a wealthy benefactor in the county? You might
a vibrant club lotto scene in Limerick. Yes, indeed. Taking care of business here.
We just had the One Monday podcast out this week for the bank holiday, so you guys didn't get to hear any of Ken's thoughts on Manchester United 3, Liverpool 2 in the FA Cup. I'll give you a taster now in the hope that you'll be tempted to become a member so that you never again miss any of our coverage of these massive football stories.
You know, when we've seen Manchester United obviously have a few setbacks recently. They played that game against Manchester City where they got, you know, similarly scored an early goal and then similarly kind of couldn't exert any control over the game and got pinned back and then conceded a couple of goals. But this time it was different, and it was different for a couple of reasons. Number one, Manchester United were, I think, a lot more positive in this game. Number two, Liverpool weren't as good as Manchester City in terms of controlling the game and then ultimately taking their chances, which they had. But I think you have to, at the end of it, like it was a Rocky-type victory, you know? It was like this, I mean, at the beginning of extra time was kind of the funniest moment because they just equalised. And you're looking at it going, they have two defenders on the pitch now. Mm. Like, Ten Hag has just thrown absolutely everything at this. He's put on Ahmad. I'm not sure where he's supposed to fit in. I mean, we saw in the end where he did, he actually fit in quite nicely. But, you know, it was like, what are they going to do? And I only saw later a video of Anthony being told. It appeared Anthony railing and lamenting the fact that he was now going to have to play left back. And being told, please, just, you know, look, please, Anthony, I know it's not ideal, but we've got to, you know, we've got to somehow get through this 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony obviously had come on and scored the equalising goal after, I think, a few let-offs that, you know, had happened during the second half. The second half was strange. There was like an extended period of dominance by Liverpool where it was like, you need to remember to score at some point. You know what I mean? It was sort of like, there's almost a kind of an olé-ing type of situation, but it's still only 2-1. And then Anthony gets the goal, and suddenly it's extra time. And, well, remember Jamie Carragher had the point recently when the piece of analysis that led to his, led to Ten Hag having a go back at him. His thing was...
They were trying to play a high line.
In fairness, there was a few examples of that in the game. I mean, there was one
with a low block.
Stunning example, and I think I remember looking at the clock when I saw it. It was 32 minutes when Szoboszlai was the Liverpool player who received the ball, and honestly, there wasn't a United player. There was United players 20 yards behind him and 20 yards in front of him, and nobody in the... It was amazing. But he actually didn't do anything, which was a running... running theme. So Carragher would have been happy enough with that. But the other thing was he was making a point about how many times various teams have conceded 20 plus shots in a game, which was happening to Ten Hag's team about once every 5.5 games. And apparently it happened to Klopp's Liverpool twice in 360 odd games. Well, it happened to them on Sunday. Admittedly, the game is about 175 minutes long, and 9 of those shots were in the extra time period.
Nine.
Still, though, 28 shots is pretty good. And, you know, you take 28 shots, the chances are good you're going to score a few goals. Obviously, they had chances to score. I mean, Rashford had that amazing chance. He would have been offside, it turned out, but nobody knew it at the time. But I think to kind of recover from multiple setbacks, remember Liverpool had started the game as odds-on favourites as well. You know, to win in that manner was...
Oh, it was wild. It was absolutely incredible. And, you know, for whether or not Erik ten Hag is there to see the fruits of this new Manchester United, he may not be, but they'll always have that day, Murph.
Yeah. I mean,
like the fans, the scenes,
the Rashford miss at the end of ordinary time.
Oh, incredible. I mean,
my nephew Enda did nearly snap his ankle in half. he came very close to a devastating injury. I mean, the level of drama was, it was kind of outrageous, you know?
Yeah.
And Liverpool were so much the better team in the second half. Like, I was saying with 15 minutes ago, if I was offered a 2-1 defeat right now, I'd have snapped your hand off.
What's wrong with you?
You are quite negative.
A 2-1 cup defeat, where it's not even like goal difference is going to get
me, if you'd offer me a 2-1 cup defeat with 15 minutes that game to go, I would have snapped your hand.
Well, luckily, Eric Ten Hag had a different outlook. You know, let's stick Amad on for Varane and see how it goes. And then you get to extra time. Oh, no, what do we do now? Turns out Bruno Fernandes is going to play libero now.
Yeah.
And sort of knock the ball around. But maybe Ten Hag thought, you know, I think actually, well, we're up against a bit of a paper tiger here. These guys aren't going to. You know, they don't really look in shape to do much. Klopp had made some substitutions, the kind of substitutions I think you take off Salah in a game when you think,
yeah, this one's in the bag.
I think so, yeah. And I think this might have been why he was so annoyed afterwards. I mean, I know we're playing a clip that almost everyone would have heard at this stage, but it is worth just hearing it. His exchange with, I think it's a Danish reporter from Viaplay. This is him after the game.
Normally, intensity is the name of your game. So how come it became so difficult in extra time?
A bit of a dumb question, I have to say, because when you see us that often, if you never saw us, then you can ask how can they have more resources. We played, I don't know how many games recently. I don't know how many games United exactly played. That's sport. Yeah. I'm really disappointed about that question, but you thought obviously it's good.
So too many games, so...
Oh, I don't think that. Oh, come on. You are obviously not in a great shape, and I have no nerves for you. I have a question talking about, are you really, what's wrong with you? What did you want now?
How come you're so provocative?
Just like, what? Like, so strange. I still don't really know why he got so annoyed by that.
But it has happened occasionally over the years. I mean, I did point this out. A few Liverpool fans were onto me, asking me not to speak ill of the man on the day that he was announcing his retirement. But he does sometimes get like that. I mean, he does a lot of interviews. He has done a lot of interviews in his time with Liverpool. And occasionally he lets himself down, which I think he did there. Because there are some interviews that are genuinely very annoying for the manager, and you sometimes wonder how they keep their heads during it. That didn't seem like one.
No, it didn't. Like, I mean, say, I can remember him having various... Sometimes when you can see... I'm trying to think of an example. Didn't he have a weird one with Des Kelly? But that was a kind of it turned into this really protracted argument over
the 12:30
Well, he had previously had a thing with Jeff Shreves over that. He had a lot of them actually have been around the 12:30 thing, because it was the gag that the presenter made a while back about it being your favorite kickoff time, and that set him off as well. So the 12:30 kickoff has been a lightning rod.
I think the main point to make about all this is it's Viaplay Denmark, which suggests that he does have to do rather more interviews than we even think these guys have to.
Yeah, of course. He has to do loads of interviews. And this is one of the things that he talked about afterwards. But, like, it's just, you know, so what? Like, just answer the question.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has he done this? And he ends up looking much worse than if he had just answered it in a normal way.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said, I like this stuff. I know people say he's a bad loser, but the concept of good loser is ridiculous. Essentially a way of intimidating victims from speaking out against the endemic abuse in the English public school system. Why should he eat shit from some reporter? This isn't Holland.
This isn't Holland.
Would you say it was a poor performance? That's what they should say. Every question. Yeah. Can I call it a poor performance?
But, do it in a Dutch accent so they know that you're adopting
By the way, just to your friend there who says this isn't Holland. I mean, Holland isn't Holland either. It's the Netherlands.
That is true, of course. It's the Netherlands. Holland is only a part of the Netherlands.
That's the kind of stuff you'll have on tap if you sign up to the World Service today.
Man United are back.
Man United are back and all that kind of stuff. Ireland are back as well, back playing a couple of matches under the interim management team. Will it remain interim? Will it become full-time? Who knows?
Is it an era? Can you call it a two-game interregnum? Let's just see what
That's
happens.
That's what it is for the time being. So we talked a lot about that today. A lot of good stuff in the Thursday Football Podcast. To become a member of the Second Captains World Service, sign up on secondcaptains.com. Cost is only €5 a month. Plus a little bit of fat, depending on whereabouts in the world you're living. You'll be part of a member-led community. You hear all the episodes with no advertisements. You'll love it, believe me. The Second Captains Podcast is part of the Acast
Creator Network. Oh.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys. It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.